Rice viewed the National Security Council as a foreign policy coordination mechanism, and not someplace where issues such as terrorism in the U.S., or domestic preparedness for weapons of mass destruction, or computer network security should be addressed. I realized that Rice and her deputy Steve Hadley were still operating with the old Cold War paradigm from when they had worked on the National Security Council. I tried to explain. The office is new, you're right. It's post-Cold War security, not focused just on nation-state threats. The boundaries between domestic and foreign have blurred. Threats to the U.S. now are not Soviet ballistic missiles carrying bombs, they're terrorists carrying bombs. I did not succeed entirely in making the case. Over the next several months, they suggested, I should figure out how to move some of these issues out to some other organization. Rice decided that the position of National Coordinator for Counterterrorism would also be downgraded. No longer would the coordinator be a member of the Principals Committee. No longer would the Counterterrorism Security Group report to the principals, but instead to a committee of deputy secretaries. At the same time, Rice requested that I develop a reorganization plan to spin out some of the security functions to someplace outside the NSC staff. Within a week of the inauguration, I wrote to Rice and Hadley, asking urgently for a principals or cabinet-level meeting to review the imminent Al-Qaeda threat. Rice told me the Principals Committee, which had been the first venue for terrorism policy discussions in the Clinton administration, would not address the issue until it had been framed by the deputies. I assumed that meant an opportunity for the deputies to review the agenda. Instead, it meant months of delay. Finally, in April, the Deputies Committee met on terrorism for the first time. The first meeting, in the small, wood-paneled Situation Room conference room, did not go well. Rice's deputy, Steve Hadley, began the meeting by asking me to brief the group. I turned immediately to the pending decisions needed to deal with Al-Qaeda. Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld's deputy at defense, fidgeted and scowled. Hadley asked him if he was all right.
Well, I just don't understand why we are beginning by talking about this one man, Bin Laden,
Wolfowitz responded. I answered as clearly and forcefully as I could.
We're talking about a network of terrorist organizations called Al-Qaeda that happens to be led by Bin Laden. And we're talking about that network because it, and it alone, poses an immediate and serious threat to the United States.
Well, there are others that do as well, at least as much. Iraqi terrorism, for example,
Wolfowitz replied, looking not at me, but at Hadley. I answered, I am unaware of any Iraqi-sponsored terrorism directed at the United States, Paul, since 1993, and I think FBI and CIA concur in that judgment. Right, John? I pointed at CIA Deputy Director John McLaughlin, who was obviously not eager to get in the middle of a debate between the White House and the Pentagon, but nonetheless replied, Yes, that is right, Dick. We have no evidence of any active Iraqi terrorism against the United States. Finally, Wolfowitz turned to me.
You give Bin Laden too much credit. He could not do all these things, like the 1993 attack on New York, not without a state sponsor. Just because FBI and CIA have failed to find the linkages does not mean they don't exist.
I could hardly believe it, but Wolfowitz was actually spouting the totally discredited Laurie Milroy theory that Iraq was behind the 1993 truck bomb at the World Trade Center, a theory that had been investigated for years and found to be totally untrue.